Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Well, hi there. Welcome to another somewhat impromptu edition of The Emma Gunn Show. I'm thrilled that you're joining me. This is impromptu because if you are a regular listener to the show, you will know that I usually publish on a Sunday, but there was no episode yesterday. Today is Monday, the day that I'm recording this. And it's because there are a few things happening behind the scenes that I sort of wanted to give you a heads up about. It's all very exciting. Lots of plans that will hopefully make the show better, bigger, etc. next year. But it's just meant that my flexibility to drop everything and turn up on someone's doorstep with my kit and record a podcast has been somewhat compromised. And so I haven't been as agile as usual. So that's why there's been a slight gap in the podcast schedule. But I wanted to do this extra special podcast for you. It's only going to be a short one. And just to give you context, I left, it's 20 past eight in the evening, and I left my desk at work 2.5 hours ago, and I've just walked through the front door. It was one of those evenings when all the trains were cancelled. So if you will allow me, I'm going to enjoy this podcast with a glass of wine that I am pouring now. Thank you very much. That's what we like to call a healthy pour in the consumption industry. Anyway, just a little something because it's Monday night. But the reason why I wanted to do this show is because I've been getting quite a few questions, a lot of similar questions, and a couple of topics that have come up time and time again. And I thought, you know what? I didn't do a main show on Sunday, so let's do it now. So a lot of you have been emailing or DMing me on Instagram to ask me about 40 Days of 40. Now, 40 Days of 40 is my celebration, my somewhat extended celebration of my 40th birthday. Simple as that. Why am I doing 40 Days of 40? Am I just a self-indulgent princess who wants all the presents? No. I mean, yeah, but no. Essentially, I have a birthday that is a week before Christmas, and that makes it quite difficult to schedule anything in. In fact, my big plans for a big birthday party this year have been scuppered by the fact that I can't seem to find anyone who will give me some space in a bar or restaurant or venue that sells beverages without wanting to take masses of savings or, like, you know, my car or things like that. So that's been a struggle. But because of that, you know, parties and whatnot are not something that I've ever really associated with my birthday. It's always been quite difficult to get people together. But more than that, 40 Days of 40 is actually about self-esteem. So if you have been following the podcast or you've been following me on Instagram for a while, you know that I did something called Red Dread. And Red Dread was about wearing lipstick every day for as many days as I had red lipstick, a fresh red lipstick every day to wear, until I felt comfortable wearing it. Because as much as people say it's a beauty staple and everyone can pull it off, actually, not everyone can pull it off. I'm sure many of us have beautiful red lipsticks, barely touched, that we've bought because it just looks absolutely divine. But when it comes to wearing it outside of the house, it just feels like a bit too much. So Red Dread was about confidence. 40 Days of 40 is about self-esteem. And I want to give you a little bit of backstory so that you can kind of understand, because it isn't just about presents and just having a fabulous whale of a time. It's about acknowledging that I am worth celebrating. And indeed, you are worth celebrating. And I'm sort of smiling as I say that because I feel a bit twee. But the first time a conversation or my 40th birthday came up, must have been about 3 years ago, and a friend said, what are we going to do for your birthday? What are we going to do for your 40th? Or something very roundabout. It was a very casual conversation. And I remember the hairs on the back of my neck just pinging up and almost like getting a bit of a cold sweat and just saying, oh, why don't we have a joint birthday party? And at the time I thought, oh, that's nice, you know, sharing the celebration. But what I really meant, this sort of, what was going on there was I didn't think that my birthday in itself was worth celebrating. So I was only happy to do something if I could somehow tag along with someone else or share the spotlight. And I just see it with so many of my friends, like really amazing people who, when it comes to celebrating other people, find it incredibly easy, but when it comes to celebrating themselves, find it quite difficult. So 40 days of 40 isn't about doing something expensive or doing something elaborate or doing something over the top every single day. It's just about doing something you like, enjoying it and savoring it. It's as simple as that. It's nothing. I'm calling it the 40 Days of 40 Festival, which does big it up. But it's just about, I really like doing these things, so I'm going to make the time for them. So it sounds ridiculous. So that could be turning off all my phones. I've only got the one. I'm not that popular. Turning off my phone, sitting in my living room under a throw with a good book. Now, that's the kind of thing I think about every single weekend. But actually, when it comes down to it, I never make the time for it because I'm like, oh, no, my ironing needs doing, or I should really go and do that. Or, oh, I should really do that thing. And that's the thing that gets set to one side. So it's just taking the time to make sure that those things that I know I enjoy, I will fit in. Because otherwise, what's the point if you're not enjoying life and all of those things? So that's what 40 Days of 40 is about. And you will be getting updates on it via the podcast, obviously, as I do in my regular introductions to the main show. But if you really want to stay abreast of what's going on with 40 Days of 40, then the best place to do that is Instagram. So I will be hashtagging everything with 40 Days of 40, and I will also be doing Insta stories and how many posts a day are relevant in order to share with you what I'm up to. And please, trust me, I'm not going to spill the beans here, but the first one, a lot of you are going to be like, seriously? But you will read the caption and you'll understand why actually it is a 40 days, a 40 celebration. So really, it's about if you don't feel worth the time, worth the effort, but you're very good at making other people feel worth the time and worth the effort. This is me kind of, for the first time ever, and it's taken me 40 years or 39 years and 300 and something or other days to be confident enough to say, I should like to put myself first, thank you very much. I should like to celebrate. And it isn't, honestly, I'm not trying to be self-indulgent. I don't want the spotlight on me. I want to, in my own head, enjoy these things and savor them, which is something that I find very difficult to do. So that is why 40 Days of 40 is happening. I am at Emma Guns on Instagram, if you don't already know, and you'll be able to see the posts and the Insta stories. And I'm actually going to try and save the Insta stories and create one long video. Famous last words. I'm not that tech savvy, but I'm going to try and put all of the Insta stories together in order to create one long video that will live on a 40 Days of 40 blog post on my website eventually. So there we go. 40 Days of 40 starts on November the 7th. The final day of my birthday is December the 17th. And I hope that you enjoy or understand the reason why I'm doing it. And also I hope you enjoy the ride and get a kick out of some of the stuff that I'm doing. I'm pushing myself out of my comfort zone for a few of them. But and equally, I'm well within my comfort zone for some of them. But I just want to, celebrate and experience and not feel restricted by anything. And again, it's not about cash money because, you know, I haven't got loads of it. It's just about savouring the stuff that sometimes we take for granted or doing something you wouldn't normally do. I think I've made my point. So just to go over a couple of the questions that have been coming in, there are a few topics that have come up again and again actually recently, and I figured, in fact, now that I've got my wine, I'll take a sip. Oh God, that's good. I would tell you that it's a very expensive, beautiful, full-bodied red that I uncorked when I walked through the front door and let breathe for a moment, but it's a screw top and it's absolutely incredible. I don't care. It was under £5. think ill of me if you dare. It's delicious. And it's kind of, you know, it's like red wine juice because it's not too sharp. So I've had quite a few questions from listeners about therapy. And I'm just going to pick out this one particular line from an email. You've alluded in several episodes that you yourself have therapy. It's something that I've thought about doing, but not sure I want to pick at that scab. If you could recommend it, how would you recommend it? And do you think it's worth doing? So, therapy. Yes, in fact, it's about a year ago, this week, in fact, that I made the decision to start getting therapy. And before I tell you what it's like, because I'm sure everyone's experience is different, but it is something that people had suggested I get previously. And I always saw that as a rejection. So if my friends would say, do you know what, you really need to speak to someone, or oh, you should go and talk to someone, I saw it as them saying, because I'm up to here with it and you're annoying me now and I don't want to deal with your crap. And maybe there was an element of that, but I just read it as rejection and I never saw beyond the rejection. So I never thought, I know, this could actually be a really positive move. This is something for me, bringing in the 40 days of 40 again. This is something for me that's my own, that's private, that could be really positive. I never thought about it that way. At this time last year, things were not, I don't even know how best to describe it. And I don't really want to pick at that scab and start to quote my emailer and get too emotional, but things were pretty dark and I could not find any respite anywhere. I couldn't, everywhere I looked, it was not as I wanted it to be. And I just didn't feel like I had any control over anything. And I won't go into too many details, maybe in a future episode with more wine, who knows. But it was a point where I had to admit I needed help. And so I got it. And the way that I would describe therapy is this. So as we know, the human brain picks up everything. It absorbs everything that we see. So when you're on a train station platform, as I've just been for 2.5 hours, or nearly, and it's rammed and there are all these people, your brain actually takes in everything from the hair colour to the coat colour. And even though you couldn't recall it and say, oh, there were 700 people and 3 of them were wearing pink coats, your brain has somehow processed that information. But at no point does anyone ever sit down to you, because how could you, and say, right, so when you think stuff, if it's not important, just kind of put it in that part of your brain. If it feels like it's important, you want to come back to it later, put it that part in that part of your brain. And if it feels really, really important, like keep it here. Like no one tells you that. It's just all very automatic. But we know that the brain picks up everything, okay? That you pick up lots and lots of details. And so I look at it as a filing system, and I'm a very sensitive person. I pick up on everything. And a lot of the time, I don't know how to process it. And I will spend a lot of the time trying to push down what I think I've absorbed and try to sort of rewrite it to be more positive, or rewrite it in a narrative that I'm more comfortable with. But the way I look at it is this. When I went to therapy, it was like I had to open the door to the room in my brain that's kind of the junk drawer in your kitchen. It's the stuff that's got the batteries in and the spare key that you don't really know what it opens up or anything, but it's a big old mess. And there's just papers piled everywhere. And you've got self-esteem papers piled on top of the lesson you had in kindergarten about painting. It's all a complete and utter mess. And it looks like there's been a tornado in there. What I feel like therapy does for me, and I haven't really canvassed too much opinion on this because one's own therapy journey is one's own therapy journey, but I feel as though when you start therapy, you walk into that room And the pieces of paper that are at the top that you reference a lot, whether it's bad stuff or good stuff, it comes up naturally. And by the end of the sessions, not even by the end of the sessions, actually, it's like during the session, you sort of lay out all of those papers and you find an order for them. And then you go away and you have time between your sessions. And then during that time, your brain percolates and puts them into a nice foldering system with paper clips and tabs, you know, color-coded tabs, and it files them in a beautiful Kiki K box file or, you know, magazine file. And you, so you start to organize the room. And the stuff that was really messy and confusing when you went into the room a few months later is no longer messy and confusing because you understand it, you've worked through the steps, and it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Becomes manageable, and it becomes something you can say, yes, no, I understand what that whole thing is. So for example, for me, I distinctly remember being quite young and another girl in my school saying that I was physically disgusting, that I was physically just a fat mess. And so whenever I think about body type or anything, I think my brain just naturally takes me back to that bit of paper with that horrible insult on, because it burned me. And so I remember it very quickly. I come back to it. So there's all sorts of things like that. So for me, that's what it is. You've got this room full of papers and it's all a big mess. And that's why you can't, even if you're trying to help yourself sometimes, you can't make sense of that mess, because you need someone to come in and help you put the magazine files or the box files up, so at least they can show you where to put stuff. So I hope that makes sense. I have replied personally to some of these emails, but you can imagine if you got that email, oh, it's like a room with lots of paper in it, oh, it's madness, and then you've got a box file and you've got some nice it doesn't make sense. So hopefully speaking it on the podcast makes a little bit more sense of it. And so, yeah, I am not ashamed of it. I don't see it as an insult. Well, maybe it was an insult when people were telling me to go and get a speech to somebody. But it really is one of the best things I've ever done, because it was taking control. And as much as I used to read self-help books and all of those things, nothing made a dent in some of the stuff that I had to work through, like talking it through with a third person who is objective and educated on these things and can help you, not do it for you, but can help you and guide you through that process. Someone said to me the other day, it's very American, and I suppose in America it is, has less of a taboo, or I don't know if taboo is the right word, but in the UK, I guess maybe people are a bit quieter about it. I certainly am. I don't go shouting about it apart from here. But if you feel like you're an overthinker, so this is why I would recommend it if you're thinking about it. If you've listened this far, you might be thinking about it. If you're an overthinker, as I definitely am, I recommend it, because what it does is you have that dump in the session where you talk about the thing and then your brain sort of percolates it and files it for you. And it's almost as if you're saying to your brain, you know what, you've got to save space. An hour every week, you've got to save space where you can just dump all this stuff. So actually for me, it's really quietened down my overthinking, because I know that I have a release for it at some point. So that's one thing. If you aren't sure of your own thoughts, a third person helps, a third party helps, and actually you might be surprised at what you discover. And also, I would advise it for anyone, even if you felt like you were happy as a clam and you thought that you had life sorted, I would say just go and do it, because it's a really good, helpful way of getting your thoughts and feelings out there, assessing them, your brain computes them, files them on a hard drive in a healthier way. So In answer to the very broad question, what is therapy like? I hope that that has answered it. I read Kelly Osbourne's book, There Is No Effing Secret, a while ago. I thought it was brilliant. I wouldn't have thought that that book would have come out of Kelly Osbourne. That sounds awful. I definitely had an opinion about her that was completely wrong. And then I listened to her on, RuPaul and Michelle Visage's podcast, and she blew my mind. Then I bought her book immediately, and she's now on my list of people that I would love to get on this podcast because she has gone through therapy. She says she doesn't, she either says she doesn't trust anyone who hasn't been through therapy, or she doesn't, it's one of those things. That's an Anna Faris thing. She says she doesn't trust anyone who hasn't had their heart broken or similar. But yeah, a lot of people go and do it. And I think most people would say that they are better for having done it. And the thing that I was going to say about Kelly Osbourne is I think she said you have to find the right one. So if you start with a therapist and it doesn't feel right, you can change it. You have the power, but you have to find the person you're comfortable with. I'm very lucky. I found a therapist who I feel very, very comfortable with and feel like we're making great progress. I will put some links in the show notes to helpful resources on this if you feel so inclined. And if you have any questions about that, or if you have your own experience with therapy, please do share them with me. Email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com and let me know if this resonated or if this felt like it was worth listening to, because ultimately I want to create a show that you enjoy listening to and engaging with, and that hopefully is useful, that hopefully you come away at the end of it and you think, yeah, I'm glad I listened to that podcast. I'm glad I heard that because it was helpful. I've had a lot of emails. Moving on to the next topic. I'm going to have another sip of wine though, if that's okay. Oh, hello Monday. So a lot of emails from listeners asking about the issue of self-esteem and weight, and whether I will be broaching weight, fitness, that sort of thing as a topic in the podcast. The short answer is yes, I shall. So get excited. The long answer is it is something that I want to tackle really responsibly, and I want to tackle with intelligence and with and by being appropriate. And I don't want to enter into that ridiculous narrative that there is out there that you see on the cover of magazines of feel the burn in 7 days, or, you know, shed 2 kilograms in 8 hours. All of that stuff actually gives me hives. I think that there are many more, that it's such a tangled subject, the issue of weight or body image or self-esteem, that, and I find it very confusing that, you know, the amount of times I have said, someone says, oh, you look really good, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, actually, you know, yeah, I've lost a couple of pounds because I started running. And someone will say, oh no, you don't want to run. Not with your body type. You should be doing weight work. And then they instantly, for want of a better expression, piss all over your dreams, and you begin to second guess what you're doing. Whereas the actual fact of the matter is, if you're running 6 times a week for 30 minutes at a time, you are going to be doing your body some good. Okay? Fact. So I want to kind of approach this subject in a way that I think is unique and that you don't hear very much. And I want to approach it in a way, as I say, that is really responsible. I have terrible, terrible body image, and I am a self-saboteur when it comes to my body. I'm a yo-yoer, and I hate it about myself, and it's something I chastise myself for on a daily basis. Actually, let's not pull at that thread, because then it'll be a 4-hour podcast and I'll be sobbing and this bottle will be empty. But just to say, I will be talking about weight and self-esteem and body image, and I am lining up. This is what's been going on behind the scenes that I alluded to at the beginning of the show. I am lining up people who I think will be incredible guests, who will offer really brilliant insight on this. A lot of them aren't based in the UK, so I'm having to work around their schedules, either when they're over here, whether I can go to them, or whether we can do things over Skype or various other things. But please do keep tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. I've had 3 sips, listeners. Please do stay tuned for that. I'd be most grateful. But also, because I want to attack this properly and I want to answer the questions that you have, I wanted to give you notice so that you could send in any questions, whether it's about weight loss, whether it's about feeling like you're addicted to food, whether it's about feeling like you have a problem with managing your weight, whether you think that something else is at play. Ask all these questions and I will field them to the right guest, because they are all in the works. Trust and believe. Finally, to make things a little bit more lighthearted, I'm going to have more wine. Gosh, that really is rather lovely. I've had a few questions. A lot of you very much enjoyed the podcast I did with Helen and Ellie from The Scummy Mummies. I have to say, I loved it too. The next day was a write-off, but I very, very, very much enjoyed hanging out with them. And I hope to do more. But the questions that I've been getting, particularly on DM actually, is we really like the comedy podcast. Thankfully, people have been saying that, you know, they like the fact that I get some interesting guests on and we broach some quite serious topics, but they liked the fun nature of Scummy Mummies. So the question a lot of you have been asking is, will there be more comedians and comedy podcasts? And the answer is a wholehearted, belly laughing, yes, there will be. I had such a good time. And the fact that people emailed me to say that it brightened up their day made me beam from ear to ear, and I already have a big gob. So the fact that my smile got even bigger is saying something. I will happily get on any comedians. I am beside myself. I had such a good time, and I will never drink Southern Comfort again. The other question you've been asking is, will I do stand-up? Well, the short answer to that is no. I think I'm really, really funny, but no one else thinks I'm as funny as I think I am, which means that an audience would, you know, I'd get booed and people would throw tomatoes at me. So I don't think I'm funny, by the way. I'm being facetious. I just think that I love having a good time with funny people like Ellie and Helen, but I wouldn't stand up there on my own and try and tell you a story. I can tell great dinner table anecdotes, but I cannot hold court on stage with a spotlight, with a microphone and a bottle of Evian. That just would not, I would get quite nervous. So those are three questions that have been coming up a lot in the last couple of weeks. So I thought it was time to address them in this kind of mini episode / impromptu show. And I also wanted to give you a bit more of a backstory to 40 Days of 40 and hope that you enjoy the 40 days that are coming up. And obviously, if you're listening to this after the event, then you can just go and relive the whole thing by looking at my Instagram feed at Emma Guns. And if you have any suggestions for things that I could do for 40 Days of 40, DM me. I'm at Emma Guns on Instagram and I'm at Emma Guns on Twitter. And you know what? I have to be honest. One of the things that makes my day, my hour, my week, my month is when I hear from you, the lovely listeners. Your messages and your support this year have been unbelievable. And I thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart to everybody who downloads streams, who tells their friends, who shares it on Facebook, who shares it on Twitter, who shares it on Instagram. Honestly, I'm just a girl who got home pretty late because the trains were late and it's freezing. And I'm talking into my microphone in my office with a glass of wine by my side. And the fact that you guys are so supportive makes me feel super happy and loved. So thank you very much. I feel like I should end it there and finish this glass of wine. Maybe go crazy a bit later and have a cup of tea and put my feet up. That is the end of the mini episode. Thank you so much for listening. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the show, it's very, very simple. Just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter, where I'm at Emma Guns. And why not go over to iTunes and subscribe, for one thing? Click that button. It's just a click and then you're subscribed and then you never miss out. And if you're really enjoying it, and I hope you are, please do leave me a rating and a review. I'm a self-funded, self-published podcast, and so it's things like reviews and ratings that help me get noticed on the behemoth that is Apple Podcasts. 5-star ratings need only apply. I don't know why I'm saying that. What I just mean is, if you're enjoying it, that'd be great. If you're not, please listen to something else. And I love you anyway. Thank you. This is the end of the show, finally, because the wine is calling.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.